Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning, we pray that you would speak. We would listen. Our ears would be open. Our eyes would be open. And by your Spirit, you would show us the things that you would have for us, things that you want us to pick up and learn, that you would strengthen our faith as we read your word and rely on your Spirit. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can join together in this way as so many other parts of your body are restricted in how they can meet. We thank you for the enormous blessing and privilege. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as has been mentioned, we're starting a new sermon series based on a book that was written a number of years ago by a pastor called John Ortberg called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And alongside that is the accompanying study guides that helps us just to be able to reflect on the areas in our life that God may be calling us to step out from and into the purposes for Him. And for so many of us, we can find life reasonably comfortable, or out of fear, we pull back and retreat from the world. And so we find a little boat that we can sit in of our own making that will cause us not to step out into the areas that God would have from us. And so I hope that as you take this study guide and either reflect on it as an individual, or even better, join in with a growth group and study together, that we can grow and have opportunities to be able to step out in faith. Many of you would be aware that when I'm not here, quite often I'm at TAFE teaching apprentices. And over these last few weeks, I've got a particular apprentice who's been really, really struggling. And he's been struggling for a long period of time. He's come from a broken home. He's got some quite dysfunctional employment. And for this young guy, only in his early 20s, he's navigating a divorce. He's being separated from his wife and navigating that. And in the midst of all of this, with all of the uncertainty of the pandemic and trying to study, his employment and his study as well is really being affected. And he's been more and more in the classroom, becoming disconnected, increasingly angry and disenchanted. And it's been a real challenge, not only for me, but for his employer as well. And I remember on a particular day, he was just getting really, really angry and agitated. And he made the statement, "The world is stuffed." Now, he used some other words as well, which I won't use in this particular building, but you get the gist. This guy was right at the end of his tether. As a teacher, you don't know how far you can go with all of this. You seek to be professional, but also caring as well. And as I had conversations with him, with regard to his wife or possible ex-wife, his family of origin that's completely dysfunctional, his employer, the TAFE system, the government, he came out with a statement, "I just don't know who I can trust." And I can understand that makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. Who can you trust, particularly in this day and age? And it's a big question. How do we develop trust? Does it mean we trust no one? Now, of course, what we're going to be looking at over these next few weeks is how we can learn to trust in God so that we can make good steps and decisions in the light of someone who is completely trustworthy. Now, it's easy for me, as I'm sure it is for many of you who have been a Christian for a long, long time. You just know it's natural that we need to trust in God. But if you do not have a faith in God, I can imagine that at this particular stage with the pandemic and everything else that's going on in life can get pretty disillusioned, wouldn't it? Where would your foundations be? So how do we develop this trust? And we're going to be looking at this over the next few weeks about how we can make steps of faith in the light of someone with whom we trust. And today we're going to be looking at week number one of this sermon series, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And Jill's already mentioned this. Thank you, Jill, for sort of setting this up through your communion talk. Step number one is, what is water walking? What does it mean to walk on water? Now, of course, many of you would know that we're going to be basing much of our passage, our sermon series on Matthew 14, 22 to 33. So if you've got your Bibles with you, that's where we'll be spending particularly our time this morning and bouncing off that over the next few weeks. And when we talk about walking, it's fascinating as we look through the Bible, we see that there's lots of stories of people who walked with God. And it seems to be that God does some great work as we walk. We can talk about Adam and Eve in the garden. As they walked through the garden, God spoke. Moses and the Israelites as they walked through the Red Sea, as the Red Sea opened. As Joshua and the Israelites walked around Jericho. There was a walk when the disciples were on their way to Emmaus that Jesus came and walked with them. And of course, Saul was on the road to Damascus when he had that wonderful experience. And so here we're going to be looking at Peter's walk. And it was only a very short walk, as we will see, but a profound one as that. So let's start by looking at this passage in Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, over the following 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects of this story, and particularly about steps of faith. But today we're just going to do a little bit of an overview or an aerial view of this story, just sort of set ourselves up for the next few weeks. And what does it mean to walk on water? And we're going to be using a lot of the principles that John Ortberg in his book lays out, and you can follow along with it in your study guides, in your growth groups during the week. The first thing we see is that what is particular about people who walk on water, as Peter did on that day, and symbolically we do in many other aspects as we step out of our comfort zone. And that is, water walkers recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. Now, the disciples were familiar with boats, and particularly some of them being fishermen. This would have been a very, very normal experience. And then, of course, as we read in this passage, the wind picked up and things got a little bit uncomfortable. Even seasoned boaties were finding this difficult. It's at this particular point, in a relatively normal experience, Jesus arrives walking on the water. Now, if you pick up the equivalent story in the Gospel of Mark, Mark records it as sort of saying that Jesus walked on the water intending to pass by. Intending to pass by. Now, David Garland, commentator, uses the particular verb passing by as part of what's been interpreted into the Greek Old Testament as God, as he's used in other parts of the Old Testament in particular, as to when God made particular appearances to people. So, for example, The same word is used when God appeared to Moses. And remember, Moses head in the cleft of the rock. He wouldn't be able to stand the glory of God, and God passed by. The same thing happened to Elijah when God appeared to him as well. And so in a very sort of similar interpretation, we're seeing here that Jesus is making an appearance to the disciples. So it's not that he's just walking by and happened to bump into them. This is something very intentional to get their attention. Now, if you go back to verse 22 of this passage that we're looking at, it was actually Jesus himself who commanded the disciples into the boat in the first place. So this was planned. There was something going on that Jesus had the intention of sending them out into the water so that he could display his power. He could get their attention. This wasn't just a neat party trick. This is not just something just to do because they had a bit of spare time. Jesus is revealing his presence and his power. Now, there's 12 disciples in these boat in the boat at this time. They don't know anything about all of this. But as you can see, particularly Peter, initially thought it was a ghost, but then recognized the presence of Jesus arriving, walking on the water. And he responded to this situation, recognized the presence of the Messiah there on the water. Crucial. In the normal day experiences that we have, going about our life, our business, our family duties, do we recognize God's presence? Do we acknowledge it? It's easy in a worship service like this. We've just shared in communion. We've sung some wonderful songs. We're in the presence of other believers. Yeah, we know God's here. But what about in the everyday, normal, mundane areas of life? God is still there, just as present. Do we recognize that? Secondly, water walkers discern between faith and foolishness. Please note that Peter just didn't dive into the water on a whim. Notice what he says in verse 28. Peter says, "If it is you, command me to come to you." So this is not just about risk taking. Ultimately, Peter's action is about obedience. Jesus is not just looking for thrill seekers, not just bungee jumpers for Jesus or whatever. He's looking for people who will seek to be in step with him, to respond to him in obedience. People who will seek wisdom and discernment. I think we need to be reasonably careful here when we're talking about, you know, taking risk for Jesus. That doesn't necessarily mean ripping off the mask and going, I'm going to go on and, you know, not pretend that the pandemic's real, or we're going to flout the rules and we're going to do a whole lot of silly and foolish things in rebellion to our authorities. We're not talking about that. We're seeking the Lord to guide us with wisdom and discernment in the right decisions that we can make in order to live a life of faith in him. It's not foolishness, it's seeking his discernment to make steps of faith. And we can see that in the moment that Peter did that. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. I want to be obedient to you. The third point, water walkers, here's an obvious one, they get out of the boat. You can't be a water walker if you're still in the boat. Now, put yourself in Peter's situation here. As a fisherman, the boat, it's a second home. He would have been very comfortable in the boat, even though, you know, it was an uncomfortable ride at this time and the wind and the waves were around. But that's what he's used to. Now, it would have been one thing, in a perfectly calm lake situation for him to get out of the water. But this is in a storm. The thought of walking on water, yeah, it sounds quite exciting, doesn't it? How would you like to walk on water? That'd be thrilling, wouldn't it? Stepping out of the comfortable, though, is another situation. The thought of doing something and stepping out in faith can be an exciting thing, but to make that first step can be quite scary. If God is calling you onto the water, the first thing you need to do is make that first step out of your comfort zone. And some of the big questions that I want you to reflect on today is, what is your boat? What is it that you are really comfortable in? It could be, and generally, it's whatever creates safety and security for you. So for some people, it could be your job. It could be your little circle of relationships. It could even be your church. It could be your finance. And dare I say, for many people, it could even be your secrets. And you're comfortable in those areas of your life. It's predictable. You've lived in it for quite a while. You know how to handle them. And everything, to a large extent, you may not be happy, but you're comfortable. So what is your boat? Fear will generally tell you what it is when you contemplate steps of faith. But now, if you want to walk on water, the next point is you need to expect problems. I think the mistake made too often is if you step out and walk with Jesus, then all your problems will disappear. Have you heard that? Follow Jesus, no more problems. Did the wind die down when Peter was walking on the water? No, it didn't. He saw the wind. And I can imagine in that moment he's going, hang on, this is defying physics. What am I thinking? What am I doing? I've never done this before. Fishermen stay in the boat. They don't get out of the boat. This is not what I was taught as the son of a fisherman. Setbacks, opposition, criticism, whatever it is that it may be, we start to sink. Walking with Jesus doesn't eliminate problems. But let me flip it the other way. Staying in the boat doesn't eliminate problems either. You can stay in all of your comforts. If you want to be completely risk averse, you can spend the rest of your time in bed and then you'll end up falling out of bed. You can cover your windows with all sorts of curtains and blinds and then you'll hang yourself on the blind cord. You can store as much money as you want under the pillow or the mattress and then you get paper cuts from your money. I mean, you're not going to eliminate problems no matter how much of a comfortable life you seek to live. Everything in life is risky. So is it better to be in step with Jesus and walk with him and allow him to navigate the problems with us or stay within the comfort of your own comfortable life? We will continue to have problems. Fifth statement is this, that water walkers accept fear as the price of growth. This wouldn't be the first or the last time for fear for Peter. Fear will always be around. Whenever we make a step into areas we've never gone before, it's just natural as human beings that fear will be around. But it's what we do with fear. It's what we do with fear. If we succumb to fear, we will never step out, will we? We'll never step out of our comfort zone if we succumb to fear. But if we, through the empowerment of God and his spirit, overcome it, we can step out in obedience. Fear doesn't have to have power to destroy us or keep us in the boat. We would never do anything. Think about the first time you ever drove a car. There was a bit of fear, wasn't there? Now, if you succumb to that fear, none of us would ever drive a car. anything, any time we do anything that we've never done before, we would never do anything. Sixth, water walkers master failure management. Sounds a technical term, doesn't it? Peter walks, Peter sinks. Was Peter a failure? Was Peter a failure? He walked, then he sank. John Ortberg says, and you've got this quote in your study guide, failure is not an event, but a judgment about an event. It's the way we think about these things. We can think about ourselves as a failure or in a very different way. Let me give you an example. What's this? Does anyone recognize that? Anybody has worked on anything mechanical, you know exactly what that particular item is. WD-40, it cleans and it lubricates, and it's one of the most successful products that mankind has ever developed. It'll clean and fix anything. You've got things that don't work, just spray a bit of WD-40 on it. Now, here's the question. What does WD-40 stand for? I'll say it, water displacement gets rid of water, lubricates, cleans. Water displacement, 40th formula, or in other words, the 40th attempt. It took 40 attempts to master WD-40. Now, there's a guy called Norman Larson who's accredited with developing this. You would imagine after 39 goes at developing a water displacement formula, you'd be going, is it worth it? Now, let me ask you, is Norman Larson, is he a failure? One of the most successful products around. And yet, did Peter fail? Now, in one sense he did. He took his eyes off Jesus. He sank. But let me ask you a question, and this is pretty confronting. Is Peter a failure? Or what about the other 11 disciples in the boat? And yet in all of this, Peter was the only disciple who knew the glory of walking on water. What is the greater failure? To sink in the waves or to never get out of the boat? What's the greater failure? Number seven, water walkers see failure as an opportunity to grow. Now, note that Jesus says, now this is just to Peter. We sort of read this. They're still out in the waves, whether the disciples could hear or not. He says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, this is not condemnation. Jesus doesn't bring condemnation, merely bringing some correction into this situation. Now, look over the life of Peter. I think most of you, we just love Peter, don't we? He does some really, really silly things. He says some really, really silly things. Yet each time you can see that as he makes these mistakes and says things and whatever, he's growing in faith. Now, I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I find even myself, I've got to correct myself in all of this, it's easy to over or cover up failures. It'd be a bit like, here's Peter sinking, and he straight away turns around to the disciples and says, it's okay, I'm sick of walking. I just want to have a bit of a swim now. You know what I'm saying? I haven't sunk. I'm swimming. Look, I'm swimming. And it's easy to cover up failures and make excuses in all of this. But one of the great things and the beautiful things about Peter is he admits that he has fallen short. He admits that he denied Jesus. He admits that he does silly things. He admits that he has fallen short. Failure is a part of growing. Let's not ignore it. Failure does not shape you. Once again, as we've said, it's how you respond to failure that we've fallen short. There's times in this church we've made some decisions. We've, you know, run some programs or done some things, and they haven't kind of worked out. It's okay. We just admit that, you know, we tried something and it didn't work out. We're not going to try to cover it up and sort of say, well, it's because of the weather or because of, you know, money or whatever. Just sometimes as part of living life in Jesus, there are things that it'll appear like we've fallen short or tripped over or whatever. But we admit that and we move on, and hopefully we grow as a part of that and grow in faith and we grow in maturity. How you respond to these will ultimately shape you. Number 8, water walkers learn to wait on the Lord. Now, note in this story that Jesus sent them out in the evening and he didn't appear to them until just before dawn. Now, at this point, you could imagine the disciples are going, now, Jesus sent us out in the boat. Where are we going again? We're going across the other side. What's the purpose? Where's Jesus gone? What's going on? Here through the whole night, just before dawn, when Jesus arrives. Why that period of time? Jesus could have sent him out in the boat and 5 minutes later, he would have saved a whole lot of time, wouldn't he? Because there's a whole lot of people to be saved. There's a whole lot of other business to be done. Why didn't Jesus do it straight away? We see over and over and over in the Bible, when God does great work, generally it revolves around a period of waiting. A period where it appears like there's inactivity. Whether it's being in the desert or whatever. It's that period of waiting. Why is it? It seems that quite often we're most receptive after waiting. God dealing with us in certain ways, helping us to learn to trust. For many of us, we could be waiting in the comfort of our boat. Whatever that boat is. Is just a period of passive waiting? Or maybe we're asking a question, Lord God, what are you teaching me while I'm waiting in the boat? Help me to be ready to come whenever you call me. And number 9, water walkers bring a deep connection with God. Now, there's two ways of looking at this story. Of course, we know how the story goes, but one way of looking at it, here's 11 disciples playing it safe, pointing their fingers at Peter and making him a laughing stock. Now, they probably didn't, but you know where I'm coming from, isn't it? That's one way of looking at the story. 11 disciples playing it safe, one making a fool of himself. Or the other way of looking at this story is one disciple who took a step of faith, of obedience, and grew closer to Christ through it. Now, the good news in all of this is that if God is calling you out of the boat, if God is calling you out of your comfort zone, you're not alone. He's calling you to walk with him. And so if you're going to fail, which invariably at some point we will, we don't fail alone. He is with us in that. Someone who we can trust is walking with us. Someone in whom you can grow closer with. And as we've talked about all of these great walks within the Bible, it appears that God reveals more of himself, more of his purpose. And there's a deeper connection that occurs when we walk with him. More so than what we can when we're in the comfort of our own boat. Water walkers, they're able to bring a greater and deeper connection with God through that. So the question I ask you is, what's your boat? As I've said, is it your job? Your home? Is it just your lifestyle? Your friends? Your finance? And the second question is, what steps of faith is God calling you to? Now, this could be something, it could be a new job, a new ministry. It could be a whole new life out of your current life. Or it could be something as simple as, you know, there's the new neighbor next door. It'd be so much easier if I just stay in the comfort of my own boat and just, you know, wave to the new neighbour, but just let them do what they... It could be stepping out of the boat to have a conversation with this new person, this new family. Invite them into your home. That could be the step of faith. It could be a conversation you need to have with people. I don't know. This is between you and God. But I just want to leave you with these couple of thoughts. And as you reflect on this particular study guide, what is it? Now, once again, these are not just intellectual exercises that we just answer the questions with the correct answers. That's not the purpose of this. It's not like we're looking for a pass mark. It's helping us to wrestle with what are the steps of faith that God is calling us all to. So can I just get you just to bow your head if that's appropriate? Whether you're here in this room or you're on Zoom watching us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, an amazing story. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, for all of us that you would help us to reflect on what it is that you are saying to us through this. That over the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking at how you call us to step out of our comfort zone into areas we've never been before and to walk by faith in step with you. And I want to pray in this moment, but also over the next few weeks, that you will speak to us about what are our comfort areas in our life, our boats, the areas of security and safety that could be really good things, but we've placed our trust in them instead of complete abandonment in you. Show us those areas of our life. And then show us what steps of faith you are calling us to. That we, like Peter, may ask this question, Lord, if this is you speaking, call me to come. Give me the strength and the obedience to step out of my comfort zone and walk with you. Not just for the thrill of risk taking, but ultimately out of obedience to my Lord, my Father, and my Saviour, that I may bring glory to you and live a life of obedience and faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.